God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Been pondering something that God spoke to me yesterday. And here's how I know it's God's voice. It's consistent with who God is. It's not lying. It doesn't contradict his word. I was in a state of asking and thinking of the Lord, and it came after a weekend where our YouTube channel had some minor, like actually kind of major explosions in views. And it was all about God's word. And this team that I've been spending God's money on to help us with YouTube, because I've only started to invest in it in the past 8 months because I can't stand the company. And I don't want to be there, but I have to. I have to. Commercially, but more importantly, because I believe God's called me to be a herald and a watcher at the gate. And that's the role I believe God's called me to have. And I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm just saying that's what I think God's called me to do. And I was praying about that weekend. Help me understand this. And the people that I've been paying money to figure this out said, you know what, Todd? Just speak God's word. Like, forget the politics thing. Sure, use it as a jumping off point, but you do so much better on YouTube when you are centered on God's word. Oh, I love that. Praise God. And so pondering this, headed to go have lunch with a young man I do every Tuesday that began as a mentor relationship and it's become a friendship, and I get to as mentored as much as he does there. I was praying to God about President Trump in Saudi Arabia. And what God spoke to me was an image. It was an image of a massive concrete structure being destroyed by a massive wrecking ball. And in thinking about this and praying about this, I immediately went and did a quick video. What does it say about our country that God saw fit to put into office twice? And you know what? This is just a new to me realization. Twice, miraculously. President Trump has put in office miraculously twice. Every possible portion of DC, the world press, academia, everybody was aligned against Donald John Trump the first time around. They attempted a coup within his first 90 days in office. He's gone for 4 years, in which time we watch people groan because the wicked were ruling. And the Bible tells us when the wicked rule, the people groan. When the righteous reign, the people rejoice. Miraculously, he's not in prison. Miraculously, he's not dead. He's in Saudi Arabia being applauded for saying that Saudi Arabia and the Middle East no longer need to have terrorism as their number one export. He was applauded in a speech for saying that. The finances aside, and the finances are impressive, $600 billion investments from Saudi Arabia. We're selling them $1.1 billion in arms. Trillion in arms. I'm not as excited about that, although it puts massive pressure on Iran. Saudi Arabia is far less belligerent to us than Iran. And under President Trump, it seems that there may, in fact, be a friendship. And I'm aware that Saudi Arabia helped fund 9/11 or forces there within. I know that. But what does it say about our system that a cultural wrecking ball is what's bringing peace. You know that concrete edifice that I think God put in my mind? It's a stronghold. Washington, D.C. is a stronghold. Sin multiplies. Sin begins as an idea, a temptation, an image, a fascination, maybe an obsession, and then it's action. Then you're outside of the thought sin, now you're into the action sin, and then people cover up the actions, and now the sin multiplies from the initial sin to the lying about it, to the having other people lie about it. Now you're living in sin, and sin becomes more common and easier to commit. And Washington, D.C. is built around how many sins? Avarice, greed, coveting, theft, every brand of sexual morality, every possible manifestation of that, deception, thieving, violence for violence's sake, war for war's sake. And here's this cultural wrecking ball. And as he is, as God is using that cultural wrecking ball to break apart the stronghold of DC, look what's falling out. Now, I'm thinking of that concrete building and I'm thinking of it painted white. Whitewashed. Whitewashed tomb. And look at the creatures that are coming out. He's not in D.C., but his family is one of the most mobbed up political families in the world. Through them, some of the most remarkable evil has been committed. It's the Pritzker family. I've spoken about them before. One Pritzker is a man who pretends to be a woman. He's apparently had the surgeries and the hormones. He was one of the, founding partners of the Human Rights Campaign. That group has done more than any other group in the world to champion the mutilation of children's bodies and minds and souls. And that Pritzker family shifted their money out of hotels and into medical devices and pharmaceuticals. And now J.B. Pritzker has done this. The governor of Illinois, or rather the dictator in the case of a bad flu, J.B. Pritzker has issued an executive order that restricts the collection and sharing of autism-related data. Why? Because he doesn't want RFK Jr. to have the data. J.B. Pritzker doesn't want you to know why kids have autism. Because he's evil. And his body, and yes, he's still alive, and I'm not wishing death upon him, has tumbled out of a whitewashed tomb. Stinking. Rotten, spiritually speaking. His brother at the Human Rights Campaign is no doubt in favor of the law in the separate country of Oregon, which has banned collection of data on the mental health of children who are chemically and surgically mutilated. Banned it. Why? Because they do not want the world to know how profoundly evil that is. Washington, D.C., as President Trump, this cultural wrecking ball that I think God has seen fit to place in office twice, miraculously, he forced data out by bringing insiders in. We know that one-third of the money our Treasury gave people was purposely untraceable. If you run a system for more than a week where you're not tracing where the money goes, or let's be fair, a month, the books are balanced on a monthly basis, and you decide to have a system that doesn't track where the money goes, you have decided to invite thieving. DC is a stronghold, a spiritual stronghold. It is so spiritually captured. Think of the effort that President Trump has put into world peace. He has gone now, second day, second country. He is apparently going to add a country to this. 5 countries in 5 days. Incredible energy level for anybody. And I think President Trump is energized by being in crowds and making deals. And so apparently that drives him. But his effort at peace. Did you hear the Saudi Arabian speech? And we'll probably end up playing this tomorrow, at least part of it. I'm sure you've heard it. President Trump's making some decisions that are in one way controversial, such as walking back some of the aid we give Israel militarily. And I've heard Benjamin Netanyahu say, hey, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe Israel should stand on its own a bit. I'm not talking about the Jewish people. I'm talking about the country of Israel as it stands. And it's a broken country, fallen like we are. And with President Trump making an action like that and a discussion like that, perhaps that winds down a little bit the influence the Israeli lobby has in our government. Perhaps that's a good idea. We need to stand with the Jewish people because we're Christians, because they're a major ally in that area, because there's going to be a remnant of Jewish people who come back to the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, and so that's true. That's a special relationship between God and the Jewish people. We are to honor that. God saw fit to create it, our job to honor it. And maybe one of the ways to honor it is to make peace more likely in that region. Now, we cannot have a spiritual partnership with Saudi Arabia, but do we with Israel? We do by virtue of God saying to us, this is a special relationship. We honor it. We honor God. Clearly, it's an Abrahamic faith. Clearly, there are messianic Jews who've come to Jesus. We can have great discussions and friendships. Is it a spiritual partnership? Pretty close. But is it really a partnership? Far more close than it is with Islam. Far closer. Because of what Islam has become. And perhaps what it was born as. That's my bet. I think it's openly satanic. And yet, here's President Trump on stage making peace and being applauded. And sure, getting a deal done, making money. But what does it say about our system that God saw fit to have a cultural wrecking ball do this instead of the State Department? I mean, that's what they do, right? They pursue world peace, or the Democrats. I mean, they're the peace party, right? Or John McCain, God rest him. Like, he was seeking peace or war. Think of all the effort that's been put into convincing us that the war in Ukraine must continue. And this cultural wrecking ball comes along and says, no. No, we don't want that. He does a deal for minerals, mineral rights, and energy with Ukraine. Sure, he strong-armed him into that. Why wouldn't he? We've given him hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. And look what's happening now. Zelensky's willing to meet with Putin. I think both of those men are spiritually fallen. I think both of them are kleptomaniacal. I don't want to back either country. What does it mean that God saw fit to miraculously place a cultural wrecking ball into Washington, D.C. as our leader? What I think it means is we are watching strongholds destroyed. That is what the Word of God does. I think ever more, in an odd way, as President Trump's becoming even more popular, I think ever more we need to triple down our prayers for him and his wisdom. Pray for the people of Israel. Pray for our friendship. Pray for the burgeoning friendship between us and Saudi Arabia. And what would it be to God's glory if doing business together led them to the Lord Jesus? Can you imagine the glory to God? I get thrilled even thinking about it. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This was a funny exchange on Twitter, -X. By the way, we'll get to the next segment, to the cleanup item, the tower babbling, and we'll get to a personal note. So you know Ilhan Omar, of course, representative from Congress, part of the squads, clearly a woman who despises American values and promotes Hamas. She wrote to President Trump on Twitter, "Hi, real Donald Trump, you've trafficked in hate your entire life against Jews, Muslims, indigenous immigrants, black people, and more. I learned from people impacted by my words. When will you?" A gentleman named Imam Mohammed Tawahidi responded, "Amazing what time can do. Little girl from the deserts of Somalia speaking like that to the President of the United States. If you'd tweeted that to President Farmajo of Somalia, he would have applied Sharia law onto you, the law you cherish so much. Behave yourself, guest." I'm not into the sick burn, oh, you know, he didn't thing. But dang, doesn't that put stuff in perspective? You know that song, "Try That in a Small Town"? Try that in an Islamic country. Try that and live. It's astonishing to me that that woman rescued from that country does not respect the country that did the rescuing. That she seeks to turn America into Somalia. And in the districts that she represents, that's getting done. There is a disease, a sin disease. And is it really that different, this disease of racism, than other sin diseases? Let's go to the source. Satan can distort, he can depress, he can distract, he cannot build, he cannot create, he cannot have joy. And so he does the things he can do, distortion, depression. Delusion. So if we go to the very beginning, the source of all mankind, and we go to God's creation of mankind, and God said it was good, but not good that man is alone, so God gave man woman to be his special helper, to come under and lift up. That special helper phrase is a word God has used for himself. And then the fall enters, and post-fall, what do we see? We see tribalism from the very beginning. Post-fall, sin. It's a sin issue. What else did we see? Very immediately, we saw people breaking sexual mores. We saw perversions. We saw theft. We saw cover-ups. We saw lies. We saw that. So is racism in a different category? It's been driven to, it's been used to justify massive evil. But in America, there's good racism. Good quality racism. The sort of racism we want. It's the virtuous racism. I'm not kidding. I mean, I don't think it's virtuous. I doubt you think it's virtuous. I know that in the body of Christ, there can be no racism because there's neither Greek nor Jew. In the body of Christ, it's not expected. It's not to be there. It's unhealthy for the body. I know that. And I look at the sickness of racism, and then I look at what we're told is the good racism, the virtuous racism. And that's the virtuous racism that is fighting back against great evil of being white. Whiteness is an evil. We have white privilege. No one can define it, but we have it. If you cannot define black privilege, you cannot define white privilege. If you say that there's only white privilege, then you lie. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Is there not black privilege in mostly black countries? Do people not import those behaviors? If we were returned to godliness and return to the garden and return to that state, which we will post-judgment, those of us who accepted the Lord Jesus and agreed to be changed by him and walk with him, we're not going to live in a racist existence. With our glorified bodies. It can't be there. It can't make it in. Heaven has borders. And the Border Patrol is flawless. No one gets in who doesn't belong. And anyone can get in if they want to belong by asking for the free gift of redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. D.C. is a stronghold. It's a sin stronghold. This wrecking ball called President Donald Trump that God has seen twice to put into office miraculously, to survive assassination attempts twice miraculously. I don't think he went there with the intent of being the wrecking ball that revealed a sin stronghold, but DEI was that, the way it was applied. The word diversity is a good word. We should have it. Diversity's cool. I love walking through cities that have different culture regions. I love walking through New York from the strict, observant Jewish community. I love that. I love going into the Italian sector. I love in Seattle, I love going to what real people there call Chinatown, which you're supposed to call the International District, but no one does. I love the smells and the sounds of the different languages and the beliefs, and I love to see them brought about. I love seeing the Hasidic and observant Jews and the way they dress and the way they speak and their shops and their foods. And I love going to Chinatown and experiencing that. And that's diversity, diversity of thought and food and action and tradition and faith. That's not what diversity became. It became a skin color for the purpose of division, which is satanic, just to divide. I don't think President Trump went there thinking he was going to destroy a stronghold of sin, but he is. And every time that wrecking ball called Donald John Trump smacks up against the sin stronghold of D.C. and D.C. by implication, government around the country and bricks fall down and pieces of the concrete fall down, we see behind it what comes out there of these whitewashed tombs. What comes out? Bodies of people like, and I mean virtual bodies, I do not wish him death, far from it. The bodies of people like Mayor Ross Baraka. Ross Baraka went to a immigration facility in Newark to provide oversight as the mayor of Newark. Okay, let's peel this back. The mayor of Newark went to provide oversight on federal property. Whoops, you have no oversight there. Oversight over an immigration system run by the federal government. Whoops, you're a mayor. You have no oversight there. He participated in trying to force, it appears on video, to try to force his way into the facility. It appears that the representatives from Congress were trying to force their way into the facility. And they were denied. And AOC has said, well, you can't deny Congress people access to a federal immigration facility. Okay, let's say that's true. Is the solution to that to hit the guards? To hit the federal officers? Last time I checked, if you think your constitutional rights are being overridden by a federal officer, your response is not to hit them. It's to state that and then take it to court, because we have a system for that, but not if you have racial privilege. One of the congresswomen said it herself. He put hands on a black woman. He put hands on someone who's trying to break into a facility. Which brings us back around to the mayor of Newark, Ross Baraka. These are the opening remarks of a racist speech by that Newark mayor, Ross Baraka, in 2023.
I was talking to a student who said, what are we going to do now that they ban black history from schools in certain parts of the country? I said, we're going to do what we always did. We're going to teach our own selves black history. Walk around with our heads down. Our lips poked out like somebody doing something to us. The people who doing it to you ain't apologized to you yet. You taking it out on your brothers out here, your sisters out here in this community, and your real enemies get away scot-free. You out here protesting and acting a fool to folks in here, and your real enemies get away scot-free. You don't never say anything to them because you don't got no courage to do that.
Oh, incidentally, he invokes God. He's describing racial enemies. But it's not black nationalism, because that doesn't exist, because black people cannot be racist, because that's a privilege of whites. Satan cannot build. He cannot invent. He can distort. He can distract. He can depress. He can divide. He can create delusion. That man, who lives in a horribly racist society, was elected mayor of one of the biggest cities on the East Coast, Newark. Later in the speech, Ross Baraka poses a hypothetical wherein a group of 1,000 black people intimidate a board meeting for better jobs.
All of us, all of these organizations in here, if we really was together, could you imagine all of the blocks and the hoods? You know how y'all walk up, hoodie on, hat down, tight? You walk up like that, a group of you, it's 10 of y'all, they already nervous. 15, imagine if it was 250. Imagine if it was 1,000 of you from every block in the city looking like that. Walk up into a Port Authority board meeting and sit down quietly together with no disruption or discussion or foolishness, just sit down. And one person got up and said, we need jobs. We don't want just affordable housing, we want contracts. Don't y'all want some contracts?
We want contracts, he says, and he goes on to state that it's theirs, it's a birthright, that this prosperity is a birthright. And he's speaking the language of intimidation. We want contracts. We'll earn them. Now, I know that there's patronage in government, and I know that contracts are handed out to friends, and that goes to my argument that D.C. is a stronghold. In the weaning days of the organization that ran Joe Biden and their control over the White House, they handed out $1 billion in money to NGOs pretending it was for climate change. And it was simply just, let's make sure this money gets in our friends' hands. That happens. So the response is to intimidate? Where is forgiveness, by the way? I tend to believe that pastors have a responsibility to teach forgiveness, don't you? Rather than reparations, forgiveness, and certainly rather than intimidating to take, forgiveness is better, isn't it? Because Ross Baraka did invoke God in this speech. And again, this is from 2023. He's now the mayor of Newark, and this speech ends with Ross Baraka telling the crowd they just need to take what's theirs.
All of it is yours. Every last bit of it is yours. The street sign, the houses on the corner stores, all of it is yours. Everything belongs to you. They can't eat without you. They feed their kids with you. They populate the jails because of you. There are people who got jobs because you won't stop going back there. All of this stuff is because of you. All you got to do is recognize it. When you recognize it, then you begin to take the steps to take it. Hold the line.
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 He won election on a platform of calling white people enemies. But that's not black privilege. If a white man ran for office and said, we need to hold the line against our racial enemies, clearly it would be seen as white nationalism. Should that not be seen as black nationalism? Maybe not. Maybe it's just sin. Just common, ordinary sin. But it has become a stronghold of the Democrat Party to enforce racism. The virtuous kind, mind you. The good kind. That kind. President Trump, this cultural wrecking ball that God has seen fit to miraculously have in office twice, to have alive twice, given the assassination attempts that I think the evidence shows that the Secret Service said, hey, let's let a few get at him. Maybe they'll take him out. His cultural wrecking ball that God has seen fit to place in office twice. It's not just DEI, it's just not just the economy, it's borders, it's not just that, it's culture, but it's also very much, very much faith-based. Inherent in the mass drive to repopulate the earth is an inherent drive to repopulate faith, to replace Christian faith with Islamic faith. Now why? Because divide and conquer. Why? Because of money and control. This is a Christian peace warning to Europe about Islam.
Oh, that's racist. You're being a racist. Christians have known who the Muslims are for 1400 years, ever since their satanic religion started. It's satanic. It's absolutely satanic. And again and again, the Catholic Europe, Christian Europe, has had to defend itself again. Now the Muslims are sweeping in, and all the stupid liberals are saying, oh, come on in, we love you, we want you. But in a German railway station, the sweet young women, the sweet girls appear with a placard, we love you, we want you, come in. Oh, how stupid can people get?
And yet, we're to pray for our enemies, right? And yet, we're to look at this harvest to come. President Trump doing deals with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar, they're not changing, speaking about no longer does the Middle East need to have as its number one export terrorism. What does it say about the American culture and the stronghold, the sin stronghold of DC, that it took a cultural wrecking ball put there twice by God to take concrete steps to create peace, perhaps friendship, between us and the Middle East? And what about an opportunity for conversion to following Jesus? Praise God for what we're seeing. We'll come back under the Disciples' View. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Todd Babbling here and a personal note in just a moment. You know, we live in, I say on my podcast, the way I begin my podcast is different than how I begin Disciples View. Disciples View, we say the creator of the universe, when the God created the universe, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, let there be light. That's the beginning. My podcast begins by me saying, today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times to which God has decided we will live. And God decided you will live now. So in the personal note today, I want to share with you how I arrived at what I think my role is in working with God and in what God expects of me. He doesn't need me for anything. He doesn't need you or anything. But he invited me to work with him, and it took a process of intentional discovery to figure out what he wanted or invited me to do with him. Because in working with people, we get to know them in unique ways. Wouldn't you agree with that? Particularly in working in involved circumstances on a project that matters, like has a distinct ship time, or there's lots of pieces and lots of discussion involved in getting a product to market. Sometimes that happens every day in fast-paced restaurants. You get to know people pretty well there. So these are the days through which God has decided you will live. So what purpose would he like to offer you? What role would he like you to have an opportunity to fulfill with him? So I'll talk about that process in a personal. Let me get to a cleanup item here. The House Republican Conference has no relationship at all with how they are seen by President Trump's base. None. No self-awareness. They do not live in the same universe. They don't live next door to each other. There are several universes over. I know this because 22 hours ago, someone posted to the House Republicans' Twitter site at House GOP, quote, we need to get Americans off the sidelines. What? Americans have skin in this game in ways you people cannot understand. The tariffs hurt a lot of listeners to this program and viewers to my podcast, they stood by President Trump with skin in the game. There was record turnout for President Trump, record small dollar donors. People have lost families, connections to family because they stood up for President Trump. People lost their jobs because they refused to take the injections that you people have yet to confront. You have yet to actually go after that criminal act. You're afraid of it because you're all funded by pharma. That's skin in the game. There's a number of Americans who still have loved ones fighting in Syria. We don't talk about that, but that's still happening. Americans need to have skin in the game. Americans need to get off the sidelines. A gentleman named Sean Farage, who is a successful podcast host, Captain Deplorable host, Ungoverned on LFA TV, his big social media footprint, he responded, and he wrote this. Here's what Sean wrote. I can't believe someone thought posting this was a good idea. You just took a four-day weekend. He's saying this to the House GOP. You just took a four-day weekend right after a two-week break. You've passed five pieces of legislation since January. But you want to talk about getting off the sidelines? Is this a joke? They have no idea. The House GOP leadership is completely removed from the reality of how they're seen by Trump's base or people like me who are Christian constitutional populists. Christians, obviously, because I choose to serve the Lord Jesus. Constitutional in that I believe our Constitution was written by men who were inspired by God, not as prophets or like the Bible, but inspired by God to build a government that honors God. Populist because we're not going to get back to Christian constitutionalism through the establishment, only through populism. Populism serving a constitution which serves God. Because populism unchecked is dangerous. And the House GOP leadership has no idea that we're watching you stall. We know what you're doing. You're part of the stronghold. You may not know that you're part of a sin stronghold. You may not know that this wrecking ball God has seen fit to put into office twice miraculously is wrecking your strongholds well, because you're part of the sin stronghold. On this program, it's sometimes frustrating. Sometimes it seems a little ironic after little mini monologues like that. But we actually thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Congresswoman Lisa McCain, or pardon me, McClain. She's the chairwoman of the House Republican Committee. We thank the Lord for placing her and other supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
Free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated, but there's also a burger element to this.
Three soundbites in today's Tower Babbling, starting with soundbite number one. Listen to this NBC reporter dodge this question about Pope Leo's view of abortion and sexuality.
Claudio, do we know where Pope Leo stands on the issues like abortion, the LGBTQ community, women in the church, etc.?
Well, what we know for now, of course, Anna, is why he's chosen that name, Leo the 14th, because every time a pope chooses a name of a previous pope, he wants to follow in the previous pope's footsteps.
We know some of those things. But the NBC News reporter doesn't want to talk about some of those things. Soundbite number two in today's Tower Babbling. Jasmine Crockett wants you to believe that the Trump administration wants to reinstate child labor.
They want to roll back child labor protections and make sure that poor children are the ones that are doing those jobs, because now we're going to have those vacancies, if we're going to have jobs left at all, as we continue to endure the grind of this failed experiment around this tariff war.
Tariff war. That's a word she used when she was in a private school for $100,000 a year before she started to, it's not code shifting, it's performative. Because I am certain it was Nancy Pelosi or someone of her ilk who said to Jasmine Crockett, you look good on TV, you're clever, you're black, you can have a leadership position in the media, but you got to be more black. Give us some ebonics, Jasmine. Soft bigotry of low expectations. Last soundbite in the day's Tower Babbling. This came out last week, but it's too good to ignore. Senator Kennedy doesn't seem too optimistic about the Epstein files release.
Did Jeffrey Epstein hang himself, or did somebody kill him?
Senator, I believe he hung himself in a cell in the Metropolitan Detention Center.
Are you going to release all the information about that?
Senator, we are working through that right now with the Department of Justice.
When do you think you'll have it done, Cash?
I think in the near future, sir.
Like before I die?
Senator, we've been working on that, and
that's Cash Patel sounding very DC. Very DC. I hope someone didn't get to him. Here's effectively what we can assume. Through pattern recognition, Jeffrey Epstein was a CIA asset. The CIA knew what Epstein was doing and with whom he was doing it. And the video footage that they probably have and the pictures that they probably have of powerful people doing horrible sin acts onto the bodies of children, they're too good. Too good to release. Too useful. I think we can now safely assume that through pattern recognition. And may God have mercy. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is. Yes.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, it's occurred to me that I begin my podcast differently than this radio program. That was on purpose. AFR, this network that was started because of a vision that Don Wildman had, and then God gave him the plan. The Wildman family is still called to steward this network with a great team of managers who help them do that. It is overtly a Christian network. I love that. We serve here the Lord Jesus. He is our audience. You are our family members. We are listener supported. It's a very different environment. If I didn't have to have my name on the program, I wouldn't. I want it to be a Disciple's View. That's where the name we all agreed upon. I opened the show by saying, when the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I want to set my own mind. I want this to be a Disciple's View. My podcast is The Todd Herman Show. And you can watch the YouTube clips of that. That's 40 hours a week of content at youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. And I begin that show by saying, today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we will live. And I started doing that in about 2020, and I started doing that in response to the increasingly godless world. And I magnified that during the COVID lockdown. I used to just say, today is the day the Lord has made, and then begin the content. During the COVID lockdowns, that psyop against us, driven by our Defense Department to cripple us mentally and spiritually and societally, to force us to take the shots, I added, and these are the days through which God has decided we will live. You are alive today because God willed it. God does nothing on accident. Everything is intentional. You have a role being offered to you. Perhaps you're fulfilling it. Almost certainly you are, some of them. Your parental role, sacrosanct. Our spiritual leadership begins in the home. Men to lead, women to follow, women to come under and lift up, men to come under and lift up. Men to lead as Christ led, which is servant leadership, being led by the Lord Jesus themselves. From there, of course, there's our jobs in the world, and we have spiritual influence there. So you're probably carrying out the role that God gave you as parents, grandparents. Is there another? So often people want the big assignment from God. This radio show came through an act of God, unquestionably. I didn't pursue it. It never occurred to me. I couldn't have possibly done it at any other time, because it was involved in a pastoral residency program with all this study and writing and meetings. I couldn't have done it if the time wasn't right for when the bishop decided to pursue other things. I didn't reach out through the great friends and people I barely know, but have developed kind of friendships over the years. Boom. And when I realized what God had expected from me, came through the reading of the book, Experiencing God, a workbook, Henry, Richard, and Mike Blackaby, and Claude King. Through that process, I took stock of the gifts that God had given me, the areas in life where I'd excelled, where I felt God's presence and permission, and I came upon two roles: a herald, speaking God's word to the masses, and a watcher at the gate, warning people about spiritual dangers. And when I realized that and wrote that in my workbook, weeks later, I got a phone call from the Wildman family. Your big thing with God might be parenting. It's huge. It might be being a maintenance worker, which is also huge, because you have an opportunity to share Christ through the way you do it and the people with whom you interact. It's not less important. It's equal to what I do. It's equal to being a teacher. If you treat it like a ministry, that might be the big thing. If you're seeking the big thing and you think there's something more you want to do with God, I encourage you to read that book, but I encourage you to make sure of something, because I hadn't. I had not taken care of the small tasks God gave me. The small tasks left undone. If God has told you to do something and you've not done it, you're not going to get the big assignment, because you haven't been trustworthy with the small assignments like I hadn't. Please take inventory of that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.